You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Paprika Steen has won Best Actress Awards at a number of film festivals for her performance in a Danish film called Applause. She plays a recently divorced stage actress, a recovering alcoholic who has given her ex-husband custody of their children. And as she attempts to regain control of her life, form a relationship with her children, and maintain her demanding acting career, she undergoes an intense personal struggle. The film, which was directed by Martin Zandvliet, opens today at the Angelica and the Village East Theaters, among others, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome Paprika Steen to our show today. Hello.
Thank you. Hello.
I probably mispronounced the director's name, Zandvliet.
Yeah, but right? It's South African. It's Zandvliet.
Zandvliet.
It's Zandfly, actually, but it's Zandvliet.
Your character, Thea, stars as Martha in a stage production of Edward Albee's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a role that you played in real life?
This is real footage from the play, actually, because they asked me, how are we going to portray an actor not having footage of, you know, real acting? And it's pretty hard to fake real acting with the breathing and the makeup and the sweat and, you know, and the voice, you know, so... So they asked permission to come shoot the performance, and I told them, you know, it's going to be pretty hard because this play is very protected and everything, and, you know, no, we're just going to mute you, you know, and just see you in action. And they taped the show. 8 months later, we were shooting the movie, and the editor started putting a little bits and pieces of the play in the, because it intervened so well with the character I play in the movie, Thea. And then suddenly there were, like, I think it's 5 minutes of Virginia Woolf in it. And then the whole journey to get permission to use it started.
Well, Edward Albee probably doesn't even know that you have it in there. He doesn't speak Danish.
Yes, he does, because he just watched it today. I just heard.
Isn't Thea in some ways like Martha? She has a rather sharp tongue and can shock people at times.
Well, I see Martha as much more innocent than Thea. Marcia is like innocent and love hungry and much more like a kid, where I see Thea, who's a typical actress of, you know, of modern society. She's very sharp, very intelligent, almost cynical, and much more like aware and conscious about who she is. And maybe that's why she's drinking, or, you know, I that's my impression. Whereas Martha is much more a child with a bottle in her hand.
Well, we're at different stages of alcoholism. Thea is fighting to not drink, whereas Martha is out of control. But Thea sometimes takes her anger out on people, like at a guy in a bar, her dressing room girl, a sales girl in a toy store, and especially her ex-husband.
Yeah.
And it often works against her best interests.
Yeah, she's her own worst enemy. I mean, people who are like that, like Thea, very emotional and very... You know, they are their worst enemies. I mean, do you know when you have snapped at anyone? I mean, you know that feeling, even though it's maybe a small amount, you feel bad afterwards. But if you're, like, freaking out that much in public, like in Toys R Us, when she's like, throwing everything on the floor. But on the other hand, I needed to understand her, and I completely get it. I mean, I'm a woman, and we have that little thing every month, you know, that we call, you know. Mm-hmm. So I know the feeling, but this is, of course, like an extended version of...
She just gets irritated. But also, I wonder if you sometimes carry a part home with you.
No, I'm an actress.
So when you leave, when you leave the theater or when you leave the soundstage or wherever you've been shooting the film, that's it, and you're back to being you?
Yeah, you know, it can be exhausted if you just sort of... You know, I had this fight with my husband, but we did like 14 times maybe that day because something with the light or whatever. You can be exhausted, like physically exhausted. Or if you've been crying all day and, you know, you go home and are, you know, tired in your eyes. But I'm very much aware of my life, and I the art for me of acting is acting.
But does
and
being
make
an
it
actress,
seems like I'm not acting.
Does being an actress make it easier to play an actress?
I think, of course, the research was a little easier. I didn't have to research. I learned a lot about it. And I come from a background where my mom was an actress. And everybody, I come from a very bohemian background with musicians and painters and, you know, so, yeah.
And you've been associated with the Royal Danish Theatre since 1997.
Yeah, I quit it in 2002. I was there 5 years.
So when you looked at the footage of you on stage, did it make you aware of the difference between playing in front of an audience on stage versus playing in front of a camera?
No, I think it's very, it's a mathematic thing. It's for me, it's the same. It's really weird because I know when I look at it, it looks so different. But when I feel it when I'm on stage or in front of a camera, it's not, it doesn't feel that different. You just adjust yourself and in a way. So it works, you know. I mean, in front of 800 people or in front of a camera, it just, you just turn it off, the volume, or I actually don't know. I'm very unconscious about what I'm doing. I'm very intuitive, you know.
Although on stage you're doing 2 hours straight, maybe
three,
with a couple of breaks.
Yeah.
Or 3 hours. In a film, you're doing 2 minutes and then stopping and then doing another 5 minutes and stopping and sometimes out of order. I don't know. Was this film shot in order?
No. It was shot like, you know, for every location and we changed, yeah.
You've been praised for the accuracy of how you depicted the raw emotion of a mother separated from her children. How do you prepare for a role like that?
I concentrate.
That's it?
I mean, for me, it's like I said before, there's a song on the radio. There's a sound within me. There's a day of sunshine or a day of rain. I'm really intuitive. I just like, I focus and concentrate on the day. I'm not that, you know, in America, excuse me, you have a lot of that, something called a method acting, which is, of course, I know about. But there's like 14 kinds of method acting. And I wouldn't call myself a method actor, but I do have my own method, you know. But I'm a very bad teacher and I'm very bad, I don't know how to, you know, explain what I do. It's very much, you know, it's my gut feeling. It's my intuition. And I want to make it look as easy as when Gene Kelly danced. You know, I want to make it look like I make it up in front of the camera while I go. And successfully I did that in this movie. A lot of people think it's a documentary about me. And I'm like, no.
Were you allowed to improvise?
Yeah, but we didn't that much. It wasn't, I mean, a little bit, but not so much. I mean, improvising is for rehearsals.
Mm-hmm. But you've been in a number of Dogma 95 films. In fact, weren't you the only performer to appear in the first three Dogma movies? And they were partly improvised, weren't they?
Oh, only Lars von Trier's.
Really? Well, you were in The Idiots.
Yeah.
And then you were in The Celebration by Thomas Vinterberg. Mm-hmm. And you were in Søren Jagersen's Mifune's Last Song.
The Celebration wasn't improvised. Well, maybe we had a scene, like there's a scene where I have to find a letter, and that was improvised because I didn't know where the letter was for real. So, of course, I was babbling about, or is it here or there? But all the scenes, all the dialogue, it wasn't improvised. And that is like so interesting because when things seem natural, people think we're improvising.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good acting, right?
You're not. Yeah, I would say that.
Guess is Paprika Steen, who stars in a new film from Denmark called Applause, about an actress. An actress is very aware of the fact that she is in the public eye and has to deal with the fact that people constantly come over to take pictures or eavesdrop mm-hmm. on her conversations. And I'm sure that was something that was autobiographical because you've had that experience.
Yeah. Well, you know, in Denmark, we're not that bad as here or in England. Yeah, of course I've had that. But then I don't do what I did in the movie. I normally just smile.
Did Martin Sonfleit, the director, follow any of the Dogma rules?
Not at all. This has nothing to do with Dogma. Dogma's over.
Yeah,
Dogma's
dead.
In fact,
Lars von Trier now has background music in movies.
Uh-huh.
Or he did, I think, in Antichrist, which, of course, was against his rule initially.
But he doesn't do Dogma film anymore. The Dogma, you know, that was over. That's like, I think the last Dogma came in the middle of 2005-4. It's over. We don't do Dogma anymore in Denmark.
There's a lot of handheld camera work in the film. Well, 30 years ago, that would have been a rarity. Do actors like working in a less controlled situation, not always knowing where the camera is going to be?
I can only speak for myself, but I think that in this situation where I'm in every shot and it's all about my face and me, I think it's very nice. But I also like the controlled, like, camera. I also like to know my limitations. Like, you have, like, boundaries for where you can go. It really depends on what kind of person you're portraying, you know. It was very nice here. I didn't really care about the camera here because it was just all over the place, you know.
I've always wondered about actors who've directed. You've directed two films mm-hmm. yourself, and now you're working for somebody else. Are you able to just get rid of your director's,
Never.
The director part of your brain?
I hope so. I don't think so. I hope so. But even before I started directing, when I had to direct my first feature, my colleagues went, "Oh, Paprika, finally you get paid for what you always do." Like, I'm probably a very bossy actress.
Telling everybody that what they should be doing.
Or maybe just saying, you know what, it would be interesting if you did, you know. And so they called me Leni Riefenstahl at my first, you know, as a director the first time, because I told them I will never, ever, you know, tell you what to do. I'll be very open, you know. And then I stand next to the camera going, "Look up, look out. Don't breathe so much through your nose. It's not making noise." It was horrible. But the movie came out very well, and it was a very happy experience for me. Next time, I sort of try to, you know, not be so tough.
Well, it was a happy experience, but it was a very powerful film, Aftermath, about the emotional trauma of a young couple after the death of their daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Then and that won several awards.
Mm-hmm.
But then your next feature was a comedy. We don't see too many Danish comedies in this country.
No,
do they not translate well? Or do you not
I
do
think
many?
This one did. I think the writer of this movie, who's also the writer for Suzanne Bier, he directed three films, so Adam's Apples and The Green Butchers and I remember the last, Flickering Lights. And they transfer, it's very Coen-inspired, you know. It's like weird places in weird parts of countries where characters comes up, you know. And this particular writer, I think, has a good eye for, you know, American audience. But, of course, some of the, like you would have, some of your comedies wouldn't translate into Europe.
The ones that have a lot of gag lines
yeah.
are harder to translate than the ones that are more physical or situational.
Yeah, I don't know. I love American comedy when it is best, you know, in English and
French. Well, you speak English perfectly, so.
Thank you so much.
Your son Otto plays your older son William in the film. How did you handle the tense on-screen relationship? It must have been tough for him at times.
Well, there was only one incident where it was tough, because I'm, as a mother, told him, you know, say your line again. It went wrong. And he's like, "You are not the director."
And
I'm like, "No, okay." He was 8 at that time. I said, no, but just say it again. The camera's rolling. I said, "Mom, you're not the director. Don't, you know, you were just ruining my best shot." He said that, you know. That was like 3 weeks in the movie, and I got really, and you know how, I was so bad. I said, okay, Michael, who's my husband, please take care of this. You know, I couldn't handle it. I was awful.
Michael is the producer of the
producer
film.
Who's my husband. But I would say that he was very professional. He was very good at it. But what I did is I didn't hang out with the children that much, because I thought when we met on set, it should be a little alienated. They should be a little intimidated by me with my, you know, full makeup and hair. You know, I look really hard in that movie, and I look much worse than I do today, because, you know, that's kind of that method acting, or maybe I was just not looking that good at that time. But you know what I mean? So
you were playing an unhappy character.
Right. And an alcoholic. So I think the alienation between me and the kids were like just meeting on set, you know, intimidating them a little bit. But I think Otto had a good time.
Applause, starring Paprika Steen, opens today at the Angelica, the Village East, and other theaters. And it has been my great pleasure to speak to this wonderful actress. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.